going on, man? This is Ice Nigma.
Yeah, and this is T Nigma, and this is Enigmas Unchained.
Do my peoples, this is T Nigma with Enigmas Unchained. We've already done a part episode already, but we're still back. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm with your friend's best friend, the Ice. How you doing, brother?
Hey man, hey, I can't complain. What, hey, it ain't gonna do us no good, but
that's
hey,
that's right.
We right back like we left something, man.
That's right, man. Right back like we left something, and what we left was a whole lot of commentary. Over a whole lot of things. So this is like a kind of becoming a beginning of the year tradition where it's just enigmas on everything because there's so much happens. Normally our Decembers are very busy. So Decembers are usually a very hard time for us to record. So thank you for bearing with us. And also like a shout out to, you know, Germany, who just been racking up numbers for the enigmas. I was like, what the world's going on? We got like 300 listens. In Germany, so yo, kudos to whoever that's in Germany. We are Germany, we appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, that's crazy to me. You know, our female demo is already upped again as well. So appreciate the ladies for listening to the Enigmas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, just want to get some. This is beginning of the new year. We're beyond 3,500, which is good. You know, that wasn't planned. I was like, we probably gonna drop off numbers, but we actually went up by like 400. So I was like, that's great. The Enigmas win again on that one. So we appreciate y'all for like tuning in to us. These old two old country boys, you know, from the state of the Cackalack. You know, I said the only Cackalack I'm playing is two of them. But we real one though I'm playing. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? But we're grateful. We're grateful to be able to do this. Like I said, me and Ice was always doing this stuff. Me and the homies, you know, I said me, Ice, you know, CJ, you know, I said Delmar. Your boy who he's a shout out to Northern Shaolin School of Kung Fu in Rock Hill. You know what I'm saying? Boy Brian, shout out to him for Dance Axiom in Texas. You know what I'm saying? Like Julian, the ordinary fellow. You know, so shout out to him in Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? We just always just do this stuff on a couch. You know what I'm saying? The podcast joint just like, I was like, no, this would be fun to do as a podcast. You know, me and Ice are the only ones who used to be chopping it up. So we like wrestling was like number one thing. And I think that this year we're going to dumb down a lot of the wrestling stuff because it's getting a little bit weird. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So we're going to still talk about wrestling. Don't get it sweet. We're going to still talk about it. We're not going to talk about it as much. But yeah, but this has been a eventful 2 months. I mean, like we've seen title changes. We've seen more firings from WWE. Yeah, we've seen anime triumphs, you know, one of our last episodes was the 1,000 logs for One Piece, which that just made our days, years, you know, like, I'm like, yes, this dude made 1,000 manga and now 1,000 anime. This dude is the king of anime. The, you know, so then you also had, you know, Attack on Titan just started back on yesterday, like we're recording on Monday, which is, it should be January the 10th today. Attack on Titan re-aired yesterday, which I advise nobody to watch it.
No good.
And that's not because it's bad. It's how can I put this delicately? I have to be able to put this delicately, Ice.
Again, we ain't about delicate.
No. For this particular situation, they need delicate because there's gonna be a lot of depression at the end of this the season. I'm not even fronting when I say that. There's gonna be a lot of depression by the end of the season. So I had to make a rare exception for the fan base on Attack on Titan. I tell you this as a person who read ahead in the manga and finished the manga and the alternate endings that he wrote. Do not hope. Abandon hope and embrace pain. I'm just saying that right now. RDC put a video up, you know, a picture up or something like that yesterday. So, hey, you know, Attack on Titan's back up. And I was like, mere man, fear what you tread, If you proceed beyond these 12 episodes, you shall know pain. And I stick by that because it's truth. You will know pain when you watch these 12 episodes. And especially if he does the alternate order original ending that he wrote, nobody's going to be satisfied. It's not a satisfying ending. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the public reception is. Now we got the quote unquote normies who watch anime now about it because they don't read the manga. We got the normies now that like have access to watch it like via dub or sub. This is going to be an interesting situation because people love Attack on Titan. But yeah, I want to see how people react to the whole story now that it's finished. It's going to be a very interesting outcome. I can't wait. Like that's like looking at one episode every week, 12 episodes. So it'll be done like close to the end of March, right? Uh-huh. By the time we get in, it was funny because the manga ended in last April. I believe this was like April or May of last year. So that actually kind of fits. It's like right in the timetable when he left, almost a year off from when he left. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see the reaction from people when they get to them last two episodes. The last two episodes going, man, I'm telling you, there's going to be crying videos all over the internet, people putting compilations together with tears and everything. Like I said, and all I can see is your boy Pain in the background, the true villain of Naruto. And I can see him in the background staring at people with a straight up stoic face like, you shall know pain. Like, just want you to understand that. So, yeah, but what was one of the things that happened within like since November in wrestling that really caught your eye? Because there's a lot. I want to see because like there's like we had Brock Lesnar return. We already know about that. That uh-huh. happened in the summer. You know, he came back, steamrolled through a bunch of people. He has this thing with Paul Heyman. And now we're Paul Heyman and Roman. And now that's kind of like where we left off at, was in that era. So what you got?
Let's see. You say November. Big E was still the champion, right?
Say again? Yes.
And then Big E was still the champion.
Big E was still champ.
So he was dealing with Seth and KO. Mm-hmm. Then Bobby, you know, bullied his way and made it a fatal four way.
Hey, Bobby Lashley is a treasure of WWE right now.
The world, he ain't about to be in a couple weeks.
Look, I'm holding out hope that he wins. Give me a moment. Let me explain. Okay, I'm holding out hope that he wins because Brock doesn't need the title, so to speak.
Right.
It would be very interesting. And this is just me. If they did a triple threat for the unification of the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship, just get this out of the way. One of them has to die. One championship cannot be the one that's over the other. It doesn't make sense. It never makes sense. But really don't make sense now that they don't have a world heavyweight championship. You know, like that distinction was a WCW belt. So we understood right. that. You know, okay, well, this one to them in WWE land is lower than the WWE title. We understand that. So then they made it. Yeah, I mean, let's keep it at 100, though. The belt was prettier, though. Goodness gracious. The big gold belt is, the big gold belt is still one of the best looking titles that was ever made. But now it's like, okay, you now have two play toys. One's painted blue and the other one's painted black. They're the same thing. And I was like, no offense. It's like, they're the same thing. One of them is like, this is pretty much like a symbiote. It's like a symbiote. And I said, like, the black one is Venom. And we got a blue one. We got a blue one that's probably called like Novocaine or something like that. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So you know, this is Venom. And his offspring is Novocaine Blue or something. You know, just over here doing his own thing, you know, that Roman is carrying around, you know, acting like he the one. Yeah, you the one with a fake belt, bro. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy what he's making the Universal title, at least in the past year or so, made it more relevant because he's had it for a year. He hasn't been beaten, which has actually been to his detriment. We'll get into that in a moment. You know what I'm saying? Because it's backed his core, his character into the corner. The but you know, like we look at that situation. Well, okay, you know, just Novocaine, blue belt. Okay, we good. You know what I'm saying? Like, but now I'm like, we don't need these two belts. If Roman Reigns is to be the one, so to speak, mm-hmm. one belt. Why in the world they keep having him throw up a one with their two belts? Feel me?
The bad part about that to me is he wasn't even the one that really came up with that.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, he's like the sixth in line. it's mad and original. I mean, I was like, this is very unoriginal. It hurts.
I told you last time we had it like that we the ones that ain't it. I don't know why they allowed them to come up with that. They should have left that alone.
Yeah. Well, how about this, Ice? How about you explain to folk why we the ones don't work? Because I think you can explain it better than me.
We the ones. What do I even start with that? Like it. I mean, if y'all trying to it just sounds so, like, for one, it sounds just so plain to me. If y'all trying to have this gravitas around Roman, like y'all supposed to be, like I say, like y'all could have sat in the cutting room and like brainstormed a whole bunch of other different things. We the ones that doesn't fit him.
It don't. Not the tribal chief, you know. So it feels like, at least to me, it felt like a deviation from tribal chief character.
Right.
Yeah. So like, I mean, go ahead.
And they're like, no, I say, like, okay, I get it. You know, I say you can, and like, and like I say, as plain as it sounds, it fits the Usos more than it fits Roman.
Yes, it does.
Because that's part that's their character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you just want to make it plain and simple, like it like I say, like I just said, it don't fit him, it fits them.
Yep.
Now they didn't shove that on him, and it just doesn't look right, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Like, I agree with you. The tribal chief character is an immortalized character. Okay, for him. Like he doesn't have to do any other. Like we've always said this. Every single wrestler needs that name that they can't escape, right? I told y'all mm-hmm. before that Becky Lynch being called the man was not gonna be the one. I told y'all that 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like she. I mean, now you know Ric Flair's like, F this heifer. She ain't the man, you know what I'm saying? And Ric Flair has like been going off on tangents and stuff like that. Pray homeboy is like mentally well, you know, but I already knew it was going to be a dispute, because it's like that dude made his career on being quote unquote the man. And mm-hmm. no offense, Becky Lynch, she could never touch that ever.
Oh, no.
It's literally an unattainable height to try and do what Ric Flair did from like the 70s to the 90s. And I say that with absolute certainty. The closest man, and this is going to pain me to say this, but the closest man to do that was the one and only John Cena. He's the closest man to get to that particular point where he had to carry an entire industry on his back for close to 20 years. Hogan didn't even do it for that long. You know what I'm saying? Hogan had like maybe 10, and then like an extension where he did NWO. But he wasn't carrying the industry on his back when that happened. It was still Stone Cold era. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, no, like now-ish, if you want to be real about the situation, the two backs of pro wrestling was Kenny Omega and Roman Reigns. The you know what I'm saying? Like Kenny Omega's been carrying everything outside of a WWE. And then he got hurt. You know, so now that he's hurt, it's weird now, because, you know, I said this last time we talked. I don't think that Hangman Adam Page's title reign is going to be good. Not because of him, but because of the way that he's being booked.
Mm-hmm.
Now he can put on dope matches. I'm not taking that away. He's putting on dope matches now. Him and, well, I'm not, but at the same time, who's had a bad match with Bryan Danielson? Like that's the other thing too. I'm like, I can't really no shade to Adam Page. Adam Page is great, but Bryan Danielson is better. I'm still of the opinion that they should not have fought this early. That's me.
I agree.
I think he should have racked up some more wins before he fought Bryan Danielson, and we got that fight like during the summer. Make it a summer versus a version of that beat. That would have been better to me than right. I kind of feel that they haven't really pointed out what's their WrestleMania. That's another problem with AEW. Every one of them can't be WrestleMania. One show needs to be a WrestleMania. If that's all out, you need to make that point plain. I think that they're gearing it towards all out, at least the way that it looks like the way that they do they do those particular pay-per-views. It is all out. All out is their it's like the fall version of a WrestleMania. But then there's also some double or nothing attention and stuff like that that usually gets that same level of attention. So it's like you got Full Gear, you have All Out, and you have Double or Nothing, the three that I can think of off the top of the head that like are in like the Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, WrestleMania type of situation. And then like a SummerSlam, it's like Fighter Fest.
Revolution?
I mean, like that's like no shade towards it, but it's like Revolution is another event. So out of those ice, what would you consider to be their WrestleMania? Like their main show, like their show that's like all put out all the stops and make this work. So to me, I say it's All Out.
I can see that. Cause I was actually gonna say the same thing, because I feel like it's pretty much between All Out and Double or Nothing.
Okay. We're in the same, but the problem is one happens early in the year, the other one's at the end of the year. They need to distinguish to the fans which one means more to them, right? And if they don't do that, then that means the anticipation to get to the pay-per-view is the same as all the rest of them, which is bad for business, because you have to be able to book it to where this thing is a big deal, right?
Right.
Say what you want about Vince, the sucker still like he's still a genius for this business. Like the boy revolutionized the way people do this business. Now, the entertainment aspect, I understand he's more heavy on, but you have to also appreciate the fact that when he built WrestleMania, he did not make it look like anything else.
Oh, no.
WrestleMania was special, right? It was put on like a special match. It included multiple people, multiple storylines and angles and things of that nature. Now, we can't talk like that like in the future, because WrestleMania is like another pay-per-view. But even still, the aura of WrestleMania, the fans remember. So they know, at least even a fan that don't even watch wrestling, like they'll talk about like a big event. Like, yeah, that's like their WrestleMania. It's been made into like a bird,
right?
You know, right? So, you know, in that sense, it's like they don't have anything that they've been pointing out to people that fits that mold. They'll say, hey, you know, this is like our WrestleMania. I know he's not going to say that because he's too sensitive. There's another problem I got with Tony. I think I said that. We said that last time. Dude too sensitive.
Right.
Online.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Since we going there, the Big Swole incident.
Trigger fingers turning Twitter fingers.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I was like, bro, you need to stop tweeting. You the boss of a company. You should have minions that do that for you. That I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that like really directing a lot of that stuff through the AEW Twitter and Instagram accounts is more profitable for your business. It gives a person a position of power to be able to do, not obviously power, but gives a person a position of influence to be able to say what it is you want to say to the audience. You know, I think that all the numbers of stuff that he wants to post can be posted to AEW. Twitter page. He doesn't have to do that on his own. He can be the one that tells people about signings. Or he's like, I'm so happy and excited that we signed X person to the thing. And then he doesn't have to answer anybody else's stuff. He ain't got to. But the problem is that we have this very weird culture where people feel that they're entitled to know everything about a person and about a particular thing versus actually being able and being like put in a situation where they have to figure it out on their own. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what most of the fun of wrestling is that you're being put in a situation where you're watching two people, you know, it's choreographed, you know, that it's predetermined, but you're also given the option of seeing, you know, like whether you don't know which way the person's going to be booked. You know, like that. That's when wrestling is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? That's when it's pretty, to me at least, is when you don't know what outcome is going to be. But when you have the boss like of the company kind of bouncing out on Twitter and talking. And this is like, just to be 100% real, I don't like the Big Swole character was cool, but it wasn't the best. I think that she probably needed to refine it more. And her wrestling also was not very fine tuned. I mean, she dang near hurt like 3-4 girls on live television matches. And somebody said this and black folk got mad. And I was like, nah, dude, tell the truth. Y'all need to just take y'all feelings out of this and just be real with this. They were like, she should have been more on Dark and Elevation to hone her skill. Like the real reason why you do Dark and Elevation is to not put her in front of public television and have her do that, right? AEW has a bad habit right now of putting people on TV that are not ready for TV. So they haven't been trained. They don't know how to do TV. They don't know how to capture the audience, the cameras. They don't know none of that stuff. Then you see a person that knows how to do it, like CM Punk standing in the middle of the ring, ain't done it in like 7 years. And he knows how to work the hard cameras. He know how to work the crowd. He know how to sit down, where the camera angles can be right. He knows how to do everything where it's going to make the fan at home feel just as connected to the moment as a person in the audience. That's lost at AEW. That's one of my critiques. A lot of them don't know how to do that. You know what I'm saying? So they just go out there and do a bunch of flips. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do flips today. With Shadow, hopefully Ray Phoenix is getting the attention that he needs. That jump was terrible.
I'm talking when he got your sign through the table.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, when I saw that, I felt like something was wrong.
He had no business throwing his hand out. He was safe. Like homeboy was holding him the whole way down. Now it's mostly, it looked like just a reaction of the body, you know what I'm saying, to kind of brace yourself for the fall. But in that situation, I've never seen anybody try to brace themselves with their arm because it's too much force coming down to do that. Yeah. But I watched that video and I was like, ooh, last time I saw somebody like that, I think, was it Paul George? Who was it in basketball? He came down and his legs just snapped. It wasn't Paul George. It wasn't him. It was, who was it? It was about like three, four years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Your boy just came down and his leg and it snapped in half. Like I said, like his calf snapped in half. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh.
Because he just came back. Like he kind of made his return like lately. I don't know why I can't remember his name.
You ain't talking about Kevin Durant, did you?
No, it wasn't Durant. It was, but it was a basketball player. He came down on, like he was trying to block a shot and he came down wrong and his leg literally snapped in half. Now that is just a freak accident. Excuse me, that's a freak accident. You can't really do anything about that. Like I'm just being real about the situation. You can't really do much about that. You just kind of got to, unfortunately, you have to kind of go with the flow because you didn't know that was going to happen. But with Ray, in a sense, if he had not put his arm out, he wouldn't have been injured. He'd have been fine. But when he put his arm down, so I'm like bro, I've watched lots of wrestling. I've never seen anybody throw their arm down to stop themselves on impact for a table. Luchasaurus had done this thing I went back and watched like Kane do it, Undertaker do it. When they do those particular ones, what they do, they grab you for the choke slam. They lift you up. They hold you with their other hand to keep you up, right? And you're holding onto their arm to stay in the air. And then when they drop you, they still drop you with force, but they're still holding you. So that way you don't get as much. Luchasaurus did that. So he didn't do anything wrong. And this guy saw people, oh, Luchasaurus. No, Luchasaurus did everything he was supposed to do to protect that dude as a big man.
Right.
He ain't had no business throwing his arm out like that. You know what I'm saying? So, but I still really do hope that that's not like, I hope it was just an hyperextension of the elbow. That's what I'm hoping that just, and that's still not good, but it's better than a clean break, so to speak, of the bone and like right around the elbow. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hoping that it was just like a, it just popped it forward and they can like just rest it, make sure everything is good, make sure the ligament and stuff like that are cool. He go through surgery, fix it up, give him some rest time. And he comes back stronger than ever. But yeah, I mean, that's a, that, yeah, that joke was horrifying. I was like, oh my God. I was like, yo, what, whoa, nah.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, but that was more recent. That happened what, like last week?
Yes.
Yeah, that happened last week. So
let's see, that was Dynamite, right? Yeah. It was Dynamite.
It wasn't Rampage. Yeah, so yeah, but you got CM Punk versus MJF being some of the most fun. MJF has been lighting this dude up. I'm like, God dang, MJF. If you didn't know how good MJF was, you should now. When pretty much he's so good, he's beating CM Punk on the mic so bad that CM Punk's own response is fight me. That's his response, fight me then. It's like, you means you lost the conversation, bro. When the next words out your mouth is like, well, I bet you can't beat me up.
No.
Oh, it was being real, man. Don't lie to me and tell me you ain't seen that before. Like, dude, two dudes be joking, or they be out there like just verbally sparring, right? And your boy just lights him up. Like, it could be a cipher, it could be like a freestyle battle, it could be like, you know, a roast session. And then one dude gets so offended, he's like, "Well, I bet you can't beat me up, though." You're like, "We ain't standing about fighting right now." We ain't said nothing about fighting nobody today. We just doing this right here right now. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't got a retort, just walk away. But most dudes, when they're put in a situation like that, fighting is an option. It's like, you can kind of see it on the screen. If you close your eyes, people are listening at home. Or if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. Envision this while you don't close your eyes. But just imagine you're playing an RPG. Right. And there's this one character and he has attack as an option. Right. His attack is, you know what I'm saying? Let me go baby kids real quick. You know what I'm saying? Your mama's so dumb that when they said with chili outside, she went and got a bowl. Right. Like let's just say, you know, that was the attack. Right. And then you go to the other character on the other side and their attack is fight me. You know what I'm saying? they have like a weaker attack that they know is not gonna work. Like, it'll be like, your mama's so black you can't find it in the dark. He's like, I can't use that. So then you have the option that says flee, you know, flee the situation, like get away from the fight, and then you also have fight me. You know, they're like, fight me. You know what I'm saying? Fight me, god dang it. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, forget that, man. I ain't going out like no sucker today. You gonna fight me today. We ain't gonna talk about my mom. that's kind of what's happening with CM Punk and MJF. MJF be eating his behind up on the microphone, and CM Punk be like, but you don't want to fight me. I'm like, dude, ain't saying nothing about fighting you today. You talking about fighting? You interrupted that man's match, right?
Yeah, basically,
you interrupted this man was fine, and you came out and ruined that dude's match.
So now he started off the year with a losing record.
Well, a losing record. Now the funny part is, at least at least the part that makes me laugh, at least to me, is what is that, you know, the guy that Captain Dean or whatever the dude. So I forget the guy's name, but he is having a blast online with this. He's like, undefeated champ. You know, I beat MJF, and MJF is like, erase. He pretty much is turning to Xerxes on Captain D. He's like, I will erase your name.
Hold on.
And Hulk was like, you still ain't beat me yet. And I was like, dang. So he's like nitpicking at MJF. That actually to me is kind of more fun. It's like they done kind of spawned an additional storyline where they could like do a situation where every time MJF fights Captain Dean or whatever dude name is, that he loses. You know what I'm saying?
That would be great.
That would be great. Like, CM Punk just that would be fun. Like, CM Punk just comes out and ruins the match again, and your boy wins again. I was like, yo, this, you're giving him an undefeated streak. He's not no slouch. He's actually a pretty good wrestler. But like, it's just funny. You know, so that'll be about building his character up so he could be something in the future. Like, give a black man some personality. You know, say, let him, you know, Tony. You need to listen to reason. All right?
Listen to reason.
Now, I'm not saying listen to Leo Rush. Leo Rush sensitive. I ain't saying that. Leo Rush, I apologize. I'm like, sucker, let's be real about the situation. Big Swole is not the best wrestler. Not even in AEW. Let's just keep it at 100% real. Don't lie to yourself like that. And she ain't had no business opening her mouth that way when she got let go. Let's keep it at 100. Now, that does not condone, you know, Tony getting online like, yeah, she wasn't that good anyway. I mean, I kind of agree, but that was not his place to say it because he's a boss. He's a boss boss. So he doesn't have to be online talking like that. But Tony, you need a booker. You need a booker, brother. You need a person that gets booking better than writing in a notebook. You need a person that can, like, literally do a year to 2 years of storylines of booking by just pairing up a couple people. You ain't got the juice. Yeah, like, this is me. I'm still a fan, but right. I'm seeing the foreseeable issues that are already playing out before us right now. If they don't future-proof a couple of beefs that people want to watch outside of CM Punk and MJF, they just killed the one with Brian Daniel and but Daniel Bryanson. Brian Danielson, Lord have mercy. Brian Danielson and Hey Man Adam Page.
Yeah.
That's dead. It's like he come in. If they can have Daniel Bryan come out there, Brian Danielson come out there and say, well, you know, that don't count. It's going to make him look weak. So now he has to move on. You ruined that. They should have waited until the summer so that way it could have been a good trade-off. Like he could have beat Hangman Adam Page, and then they go to a draw, and then Hangman wins it back. Something like that would have been a far better story for this particular thing than it just being one draw and then we go to a finish. No, Brian Danielson is good enough to beat this dude and hold your title. B, y'all could have ran to the hour draw, and then C, Hangman Adam Page could have won it back after like impossible, like a bunch of matches in between their draw, but he couldn't beat down Brian Danielson on like Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
A couple tag team, like, not all the time, like maybe one or two tag team matches where they kind of spar, but Brian Danielson kept pinning them. No, add that extra tension where he's like, I'm better. It's like Brian Danielson is my favorite wrestler, okay? And I know, especially if he could get over Word Fickle, that he could get this over. Right, he could have got this over and had people like wanting to throw rocks at this dude that show up to the show. I throw meat at him, you know what I'm saying? Because they know he a vegan. They're like, here's some meat, you know what I'm saying? Like, but but bro, I mean, like it was. I was like, this was rushed. It's too fast, man. Like, and I think Wardlow is about to change. You agree? Like Wardlow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like the power bomb sipping is the best thing to come out the past 5 months.
John Spears crazy behind just whacking people with chairs now. Like he ain't got no sense. But
it's funny,
he does entertain me.
Yeah, I mean people don't like Sean Spears, and I'm like, that's the point. The point is for you not to like him because he's a stooge, right? That's the point. The point is that he's too loyal. He's that dude. You know what I'm saying? So Thank the Lord Mitchell ain't like Ice ain't like this no more. All right. But Ice was close to being like, you know, Sean Spears is, you know, like he was never a goon, but he was down. You know what I'm saying? Sean Spears is a goon and he's down, which makes him even more dangerous in a situation because he has something to prove. Right? Ice was doing it because he was loyal. He was like, nah, man, let's ride on this dude. I'm like, no, hold on. That's not what we're saying right now. We weren't saying we're just venting our frustration. We can vent our frustration while we stopping them. No, man, we are not doing that today, okay? that's not what we talk about. But like in this situation, I think that, you know, Sean Spears' character, the chairman, literally getting a euphoric feeling, beating people up with a chair.
Right.
It's not a bad play on his character. You know what I'm saying? Where he gets like a scissor release, whipping somebody behind with a chair. Not in a wrestling match. No, screw that. He gets a whack you with a chair and he's like Bubba when he put people through tables. I thought that was, I mean, I think they need to play up on that, give him more matches where like he'll end the match and a match will be like a great match. He just rolls outside, grabs a chair, and whacks the sucker upside the head and takes his qualification and just stands in the ring, like breathing in the air, like, oh, I feel so much better now. And just drop it, just leave the ring. That'd be an interesting situation. But yeah, he's a goon now, so he's just listening to MJF. Oh, MJF said, you know, you need to end these matches quick. We ain't paid about an hour, which is dope because their Wardlow's like, I want to do a powerbomb symphony. I like doing power bombs. That's his release. I like doing power bombs. So I'm gonna do power bombs today. And it's like 17 later. I'm like, God dang, you know what I'm saying? Roll that new legs over.
Power bombs.
I mean, your boy
one T power bombs.
Pretty much, you know what I'm saying? He's still going. Bro, I mean, it was disrespectful to me though. About it, which is one of the reasons I like it so much. It's not the beginning power bombs, okay? The beginning power bomb, he's doing a regular release, he's picking them back up, put them in. But then he does this joint where he'll throw you down, then he'll roll your legs back and pick you back up. I'm like, God damn, Warlord, the dude was just recovering. He was like, oh no, Lord, no, running back to the power bomb. I loved it. I was like, this is great. Like, this is great. And like, I can see him doing it. If he does an MJF, bro, the place is going to blow up. It's going to blow up. Like, they're going to be like, yo, we wasn't ready for this Powerball symphony. This is probably going to be 45 Powerballs. Just like, boom. And the people are like, one more. He's like, bet.
All right, cool.
He starts pulling them straps down. Neck start twitching. He like, nah, like, yeah. He's like, I got more in me. And I was just, boom. And just, I'm like, this joke was great. I was like, I like Wardlow. I like Wardlow's character. He don't got to talk a whole lot. Like I said, he's kind of like, as crazy as my sound, he's kind of like Roman Reigns, but just a better version. But just a better version of me. Because Wardlow, he does something that Roman doesn't know how to do. Very well, outside of like just being a heel. He knows how to make you invested in all the moves that he does. Roman only has two moves that he makes you invested in. Punch, Superman punch, ooh-ah, and spear, right?
Uh-huh.
That's it. Wardlow got that joint he does off the top rope. Wardlow got the doggone, he doesn't do a spear, but he does something similar like it's a slam that he does in every match, like, well, elongated match, not these squash matches that he's been doing. Squash match, he's been doing powerbomb. Powerbomb symphony, baby. But yeah, the powerbomb symphony is not even his finish. That's just something he's doing right now.
Right.
So it's like that's not his.
His finish is the F10, ain't it?
Yes. Yes. That's his finish. So now they might actually change it now. Because like, it was like the Rock, you know what I'm saying? He was doing rock bottom, you know, right? Rock bottom was his finish, and then all of a sudden he just popped out of people's elbow, right? People's elbow in the beginning didn't beat people. But as he got more popular, the people's elbow ended up beating people. I think that powerbomb symphony is kind of like homeboy's people's elbow, where he just, he's going to keep doing it, and people in the crowd's going to get so riled up, foaming at the mouth to see him do the powerbomb symphony. I mean, look, I get riled up. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like, once I see him put a dude, I'm like, let's go. Like, at least five, baby. Give me five. And give him five, like, seven. Go to seven, boy. Like, go to seven, bro. He's like, six. Roll the sucker leg. So I'm like, yeah, let's go. Keep going. I'm like, do another one. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like, I get it. Look, I love power. I mean, powerbomb's one of my favorite finish moves, man. Like, that joint is disrespectful. Okay. That's one of the most disrespectful finish moves in any form of wrestling history. Just flipping the sucker up. Oh, I mean, you ragdolling the sucker first. Then you throwing them on their neck and their back. That's some trifling stuff. I love that move. Love it. Love it. Love the disrespect. I mean, in the most disrespectful, who's the most disrespectful powerbomb? I'm going to see who got the most disrespectful powerbomb in wrestling history.
Oh. Let's see. Dang. We ain't seen a lot of power bombs in our lifetime.
There's been a lot of power bombs. I got two of them off Jump Street that just come in my brain. I'm like, yeah, it's disrespectful. It's like, imagine being the person in the power bomb. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're like, God dang. I mean, like it's so disrespectful. It's like, they both of them make you think while you in there.
Listen. The last ride looked like it sucked.
That's one. That's one of my two right now. That's one of my two. The last ride is disrespectful. Okay, is you supposed to just be regularly power bombing me, Undertaker? You ain't supposed to be giving me a wedge or two. Okay. Like, Undertaker's cold blooded. So like, he's like, me putting you out at this height ain't good enough. So he just throw you down. I was like, it's so disrespectful. It's so disrespectful. I mean, I was like, yo, Undertaker, why you? If he made that, I want to know who disrespected him that day. I just want to know who disrespected him that day. He was like, you know what? A regular power bomb just won't do. It just won't do. Basically. I need to add some extra flat to this bad boy. You know what I'm saying? So how about another one? What's another one? Because I got two. So you got one of them. What's the other one?
Let's see. For some reason, I want to say Kevin Nash.
Yes!
Kevin Nash.
Yes! Jackknife. Yes, Jackknife. Yes, sir. Why is it disrespectful?
I mean, because it's Kevin Nash for one, but
yes. But that's cool. Yeah, that's a qualifier.
No, that sucker didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, that's his power bomb kind of showed that he didn't care about you. This dude made you feel like you would be safe at least to prepare yourself in the sky. He's already 7 feet tall. Okay, already at disrespectful length. Okay, so he's at the length of disrespect. All right, this is like Shaq. You know what I'm saying? Dunking and breaking rims on people. It's disrespectful. Okay? They can't disrespect is their breathing language. Okay? You get that tall, everything you do is disrespectful. It's like shaking your hand is disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? Like Big Show shook my hand and I felt wrong because my hand, like a child's hand in his hand. I was like, this is trash. Everything they do. Everything they do is disrespectful at that point. Like, you've gone over 7 feet, your whole body is in a whole different level of disrespect to every other person on the planet. You know, so Kevin Nash, like 7'1", right?
Mm-hmm.
This dude's a beast. Then he gonna come up there and grab you for a power bomb, and he's 6 feet, he's 7 feet tall. Okay, so that means that your head is about 9 feet in the air. This is already disrespectful, okay? Then rather than him throwing you down with force, he just lets you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, come on, man.
He just lets you go. It's so disrespectful. I was like, why you? It's beautiful, though. I mean, it's a beautiful power ball. It's beautiful because it's so disrespectful. I was like, this is so disrespectful. Let's keep it at 100. The more disrespectful the move, the better the move.
You're right.
Stone Cold Stunner is disrespectful. Okay, it's a disrespectful move. He gives you the finger, then kicks you in your stomach. Now look, now have you? I mean, we ain't got to the stunner yet. Listen, being kicked in the stomach hurts a lot. Okay, I've been kicked in the stomach a lot when I was growing up. Okay, it hurts. Yeah. You been kicked in the stomach, guys? When you were younger?
Can't say that.
Or hit in the stomach?
Can't say that.
Like tackled in the stomach area, abdomen region?
Yeah, okay.
Don't that hurt? Yeah, don't that hurt? It all hurts. It hurt, right? So you hurting. You already like, and then he grabbed your neck, you know? It's so disrespectful. It's like you already running out of air. And then he stuns you. You can't breathe. It's so disrespectful, right? It's like rock bombs a cool finishing move. That's not disrespectful. He just slam you on the ground.
Right.
No shade towards. I mean, I still one of my favorite moves, but it ain't got. It's not Stone Cold Stunner disrespectful. Okay, One-Winged Angel is disrespectful. Okay,
cool.
That's one of the most disrespectful moves in the playbook right now. He's lifting you up as if he's hip hooraying you. You think you like, if you're the person that's dazed, you're like, oh wow, oh, man, I can see the old way. You no, it's,
I know
it's disrespectful. The rainmaker is disrespectful. He's treating you like he's about to dance with you, twirl your behind out, and bring you back in for a lariat. That's cold blooded, okay? He like, you know, like the dance when they spin you out. That's what it looks like. It's called a ripcord in wrestlers, ripcord. But right. You know, he ripcords you out, and it's like you're just gonna do like a quick dance. And he's a nah. It's disrespectful. It's great. It's disrespectful, but it's great. It's great. I said, but the more disrespectful, it's like people be coming up with these, like Ruby Riott's Ruby Soho finish move. She needs another finish move. Their finish move is not disrespectful enough. It's actually quite lame. You know, it's like her just doing like a little thing, spinning and kicking the person side of him. Like, that's insecurity. We've seen that. We see it like 95 times throughout the night. This shouldn't be a finisher. Britt Baker's lockjaw is disrespectful. Because she added an additional level of disrespect by putting on a glove and grabbing your mandible. It's disrespectful.
Man.
The curve stomp is disrespectful. It's a disrespectful
right.
I mean, like Seth do it or her, it don't matter. Anybody that does it, the punt kick by Randy Orton, total disrespect. The RKO is disrespectful.
Especially if he can just catch you out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But like my favorite punt will for always if ever will be the one where he hits with it.
So Vince?
Yeah, the one he hit Vince up. Because like, he just leap. He do it.
I'm saying, and why do you laugh? Why you laugh, Ice? Because it's disrespectful.
I do.
You know, it's the reason why you laughing to yourself. She's like, ain't no way. You know, like they hold, ain't no way, boy. Ain't no way. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how I be feeling when a finishing move is that. That's how I feel. But it's in the best way. It's like this dude should not get up. That's how that's what. Yes, like Big Show's world was weapon of mass destruction punch.
Yeah.
Right? WMD. Disrespectful. Because this sucker was getting boxing training. As a 7-foot-tall, 500-pound man. So a regular punch, his fist is the size of your face. It's like getting smacked in the face with a skillet. Your behind going down, right? So his hand, he holds his hand out. People able to put a whole skillet in his hand. And he had room to bend his doggone fingertips around the skillet. He hits you with that fist, your face should explode. So it makes sense to me. I'm like, yeah, that's disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? Just Rikishi's, you know, and Yokozuna, you know what I'm saying, doing the buns I drop. That joint is disrespectful.
Oh, no, sir. I would not take any either one of them.
And that's what I'm saying. It's disrespectful. You should feel the utmost disrespect. They just dropping their booty on you? Dude, no, man. This is wrong, okay? That's saying it's one of the things, one of the reasons why I think, like, with the women, a lot of women don't have a memorable finishing move outside of, like, Charlotte Flair's figure eight because it's disrespectful. Because they just take her daddies, and she like, well, I'm gymnastic. You know, so I'm gymnastic athletic, so I'm just going to arc my back with this to add more pain. You're like, I'm already hurting. So, you know what I'm saying? She like, you ain't hurting enough. Just give me a second. You know what I'm saying? If Sasha Banks doing a backstabber into the bank statement, it's disrespectful. She don't even need to do the backstabber.
She don't.
She really don't have to do that. It's just extra level of disrespect that's being added to it. Becky has no move that has that level. That's why I don't vibe with Becky being like the best of the generation. No. Like
I strongly disagree with that.
And like Bayley's new move, like not the Bayley belly, like I didn't like that move, but the but the new move that she had when she was grabbing sucker's head and driving to the ground, that joint was disrespectful. I was like, yes, that's a utmost. Like the more disrespectful the finisher move, the more memorable the finisher move.
That was Dean / Mox's first
finish move, first Dirty Deeds. Yeah, it's Dirty Deeds.
Yeah,
it's the very first version of Dirty Deeds. Yeah, not the double arm DDT that he ended up doing, which he kind of tried to make it into like a Stone Cold situation, but I think that Death Rider is the more disrespectful version of that. Woo. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna let your behind feel some wind before you hit the ground. He's like, this is just wrong. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine you looking down the ground already? You're already like this right here. You're in your arms just trapped behind you. You know what I'm saying? You can't do nothing about this. You know what I'm saying? So you already know. Right. All he got to do is drop his weight now. But no, you feel wind hit your face. You in the air now. Your arms are still trapped behind your back. And your face, you're like, this sucker's gonna hurt me today. You know, you're in the air. You have time to think about it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. I mean, I'm just being like, I mean, this kind of, we might have to do a separate podcast on like getting a bunch of people talking about disrespectful finishing moves. Cause like, it's like, not just with wrestling. Think about football. The more disrespectful the moment, the better the moment. Basketball, just dunking on suckers. The more disrespectful it is, the better it. I mean, I don't know what it is, man, but you know, just disrespect for some reason is very admirable. In sports. Yeah.
Like, oh, he just got posterized.
Yeah, he got posterized. Your boy like literally just put his balls right on your neck.
That is not cool.
He did it on purpose too. And he's dropped his whole weight down on you and then looking at you while you're on the ground. Nah, bro. Right. Like what I said in the beginning, you choose the option to fight me. You know, fight me, goddamn. You know what I'm saying? There ain't nothing else you can really do. You like, fight me. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna just be doing it to me. You know what I'm saying? Jersey come off. You ain't gonna be doing it to me. Fight me, dang it. You know what I'm saying? Fight me.
He's like, then they be sitting there, then they jump so high they end up sitting on somebody's shoulders, like,
bro, I mean,
like they better carry them off the court and stuff. Like,
man, look, that's one way angel territory right there. You like, oh, you up here? let me find a way to take you down, buddy. Grab that leg and swoop. What a buckshot lariat is disrespectful. Just to throw that back out. It's disrespectful.
Cause this dude flips. He flips inside the ring and like just lays you out with the lariat.
He has enough. He's beat you up so bad. This is why I disrespect him. He beat you up so bad that he has enough time to do a flip to add more power to what he's about to do to you. That's how you just like, man, hey, man. He didn't bust a bro. What? He's gone, you know. It's as simple as that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, just like, I just got my bearings back. You know, you're like, oh, okay, let me get myself back into the fight. And you turn around, this sucker's flying at you. You're like, God dang it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's disrespectful. And that's the, it's one of the reasons I'm almost at the point where I want to abolish the super kick.
I see.
I'm at the point now where we can, like, go 20 years without seeing another super kick. Young Bucks have ruined the move. It's messed up that I have to go to that limb, but I just got to tell the truth now. They ruined this move. They ruined it. It has no power. Anybody that wants to use it as a finishing move can now not use it because, let's be real, when Shawn Michaels did it on his own, it was one of the most disrespectful finishing moves out there. Your boy just he hit Shawn on Spears from one when he was in WWE. He was a dude with the papers.
Stan.
You know what I'm saying? What's your name? Stan. Clap. Wow. You see what you made me do to Stan? You know what I'm saying? It was like a bullet. You know what I'm saying? It's like he had a gun and he's just shooting people. You know what I'm saying? Like HBK getting the ring, you didn't know where the kick was going. Like, and that's how good he was with the hyper. You remember when it was Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and John Cena in the ring.
Oh God.
And Shawn Michaels and Triple H were staring down John Cena. And mm-hmm. I can't remember if it's Royal Rumble or whatever, but I remember Shawn Michaels kicking that sucker, kicking Triple H so hard. You know, Triple H is an excellent seller. He kicked that dude so hard, your boy just folded through the ropes. So I was like, oh my goodness, what? And John Cena did this perfect reaction where he just like was so stunned. He just looked at like Triple H outside the ring for like a minute. He was like, this sucker really did kick his homie out of the ring like that. Like, it was perfect reaction. He was like, he was getting ready to fight two people. And then he oh, whoa. And then he saw like the boy fold out of the ring. He was like, why in the world did you do that? You know, like he was, and Shawn Michaels just, I ain't even break an eye contact. Look at this. I'm like, you next. You know? You know what I'm saying? And then when Shawn Michaels was going against Randy Orton, and Randy also, excellent seller. You know what I'm saying? And Randy was getting clapped, because that's the only way I can describe this, okay? That's how good the super kick was. Randy Orton getting clapped by the sweet chair, right? And your boy just, his whole body did this. Literally, it wiggled and he fell face first. And I was like, okay, for you to sell that well, wait, it looked like your whole body lost consciousness. You know? When you got super kick, it made the move, but now, so I can get a super kick and it has no weight. You know what I'm saying? That's on both sides. Yeah.
You see a super kick like halfway into, like, if you don't see it in the beginning, you see it halfway in the middle of the match.
Yep. I mean, Usos do it too much. In WWE. Uh-huh. Everybody do it too much AEW. I'm like, we just stop this move. Like, Kevin Owens don't even know how to do it. It's strange when you see him do it because he doesn't have the extension to get that high.
Gotcha.
Yeah, like, so it's like, bro, you ain't. If be glad the camera angle is facing their back and not the side. They love you, because if they went to the side, it show you probably hardly got above their torso. You know, so it's like, we need to retire this move. So I'm gonna put this in, since it's a niggas on everything. This is like almost our brainstorm session two, you know, for the rest of the year. So most disrespectful finishing moves, you'll see that coming. You'll see that coming. We get like a whole lot more people. We're gonna probably revisit a couple of ones we talked about. And then moves that should be retired from wrestling. First ballot Hall of Famer for that.
I'm glad they don't do Canadian Destroyers like that no more.
Yeah, they do. Like your boy just Gold. I mean, not Gold. Dustin Rhodes just got done doing that joint to Sammy Guevara through a table.
No, I'm saying, like, but how many times do you really see him on TV like that anymore?
Okay, that's fair. All right, that's fair. But everybody else be doing Canadian Destroyers though. The thing has been now, it's like a power slam. You know, so I'm like, this thing is hard to do, okay? It's disrespectful. It's also disrespectful. You're thinking you just like, baby, get a power bomb. This sucker flips over your body and carries you with him. That's disrespectful, right? Okay? I'm saying, so
I take that back. Petey's Canadian Destroyer is disrespectful.
yes sir. Petey's disrespectful. I mean, like, because he wasn't that big, he was a small dude. You know what I'm saying? So you thinking to yourself in your heart of hearts, and you know, look, man, this dude's gonna power drive me regularly. He's gonna just grab me up and just drop me. I can brace for that. This little sucker just flipping over your back with enough energy to carry your body with him and to drive you outside. I know this is strange, but I'm just, for wrestling fans, I just want you to process this. You ever thought about if this wrestling was real? You ever thought about what a person would be thinking about when this stuff is happening to them? You know, like when they're like, I'm gonna reverse this. No, oh no, and it's like just the, you know, the situation is irreversible. Or like the move is happening. It's like, you know, that freeze frame. Like, well, I don't know how I got here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be thinking like that when I see like the, because they never really show you the person's face when they're in danger. The only person they did that to, which is one of the reasons why he's a Hall of Famer to me, a Hall of Fame geek, is your boy on with the Elite, Brandon Cutler.
Oh, come, yeah.
Yeah, Brandon Cutler gives you everything, okay? Because he was recording while he was getting the finisher moves. Now, why is that important? Because it adds context to the danger.
Golly.
Of you capturing this move. Like when he got, I forgot what it was, he got the Impaler or something like that. It was a pretty or whatever it was. And he was like, no, the whole time. It was like recorded. He looked, the camera was looking at the, like, no, and boom. I was like, you know what? I know this is great, because it gives you another perspective of what happens in the ring. Like the person catching the fire normally doesn't really, they don't really show you the reactions. Not as a Stone Cold Stunner, you know, something that makes them flip over or something, but you normally don't get to see their faces when it's happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of the most protective things in wrestling. They never show you the reaction of the person when they're getting the finish move. So, yeah, but I always thought, I was like, what would people be thinking about? Like when Randy Orton about to RKO you, what the world are you, What are you supposed to do? I mean, like, you're like, yeah, Randy, you're just falling forward. You're like, did this sucker really get me? You're like really just the thought of that. I thought that just, you know what I'm saying? Like Brock Lesnar gets in the ring with you. What are you thinking about? You're like, ooh. Like, okay, I got to figure out the quickest exit I can get to, because this sucker might not be in a good mood today. And he could be smiling at me and still destroy me. I need to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? So, but then you get caught an F5. What are you thinking about when you twirled in the air like that? I mean, what are you thinking about? You're like, is this how people feel near tornadoes or something? You're like, this is wrong. You know, so. That's it's just a.
Shoot, man. I'm going to try to plan like Kevin and Self did. Like, just straight jumping. It didn't work.
It didn't work.